Here's my text today, John chapter 6, verse 39 through 44. John 6, 39 through 44. Now my subject is the resurrection of the dead, or this is the title of the message, I Will Raise Him Up. I Will Raise Him Up. Now while I read the text, you listen for that phrase, I will raise him up. Now listen carefully. I'm reading John 6, verse 39. And our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up again at the last day. I will raise him up. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son by faith sees the Son, and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now verse 44. No man can come to me, believe on me, come to Christ in faith, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up at the last day. We're talking about the resurrection of those who have died in Christ. Now, of all the doctrines which the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has revealed to us, perhaps, the most difficult to human thought and human understanding is the actual resurrection of this body from the grave, from the dead. After this body has died and rotted and decayed and gone back to the dust, for God to raise it up 100, 200, 1,000, 5,000 years later, for God to raise it up, a new and glorified body, that's perhaps the most difficult doctrine for the human mind and understanding. But the Word of God promises that. The Word of God promises to believers a perfection of soul and a perfection of body, body and soul, and an eternity of glory and happiness on a new earth. A resurrected earth, a new earth, recreated earth and heaven. Actually, our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated the glorified, resurrected body when he appeared to his disciples in the 24th chapter of Luke. Do you remember? Have you read that scripture, Luke 24, beginning at verse 36, when he appeared to his disciples after he had risen from the grave? And this is what he said to them. They were afraid. They saw him die. They buried him. And here he is standing in the midst of them. And the first thing he said to them is this, it is I myself. It is Christ himself. That's the word he uses in verse 36. Christ himself. And then he said, it is I myself. Well, they were afraid. They thought they'd seen a ghost, a spirit. And he says, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. Touch me. That's what he said. Handle me. A spirit does not have flesh and bones, or does not have a body. And then he showed them his hands and feet. Why did he do that? Why didn't he show them his head or his back? He showed them his hands and feet. I'll tell you why he did that. There were scars in his hands, the nail prints, and in his feet, and they recognized him. They saw the Roman soldiers drive those nails into his hands and into his feet. And he said, look, it's I myself. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see me have. Touch me. Behold my hands and my feet. And they were still in unbelief. They still did not believe for joy. And he said, now listen, do you have anything to eat? And they said, we have some fish and a honeycomb. And he took the fish and the honeycomb and ate it in front of them. our resurrected body is going to be like His. Now, I know that's tough. You stay with me and listen, though, as I show you this from the Scriptures. But our Lord was in the grave, and He arose. And this is the body that He had and showed to His disciples, and we're going to have a body just like His. Now, the first preachers and apostles, they went forth preaching two doctrines for which they were hated, stoned, imprisoned, and finally martyred, slain. Do you know what those two doctrines were? The two doctrines for which they were hated and stoned and imprisoned and finally put to death. The first one is this: salvation by the free grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but salvation through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation by faith, not by works, not by keeping days and paying tithes and doing certain duties. Salvation is the gift of God, by the grace of God, through the sacrifice of Christ, through the blood of the Son of God, by the Holy Spirit's regeneration, through faith in Christ, to believe Him. That's what they preached in opposition to duties and traditions and customs and professions. Salvation is the work of God in the heart. That's the first doctrine. And the second was this, the other doctrine which cannot be separated from the first. The other doctrine for which they were despised and hated and finally slain was the resurrection of the dead. That's right, the resurrection of the dead. What I read to you a moment ago. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is through the blood of Christ. Salvation is by faith in Christ and faith alone. And those who believe are going to be raised from the dead in perfection, in holiness, in incorruption, in power, in glory, and be made just like the Lord who redeemed them. That's what He said that I read to you a few moments ago. He said, "This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, by His grace I lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. And no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and they shall be taught of God and learned of the Father, and everyone that's taught of God and learned of the Father cometh to me, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Those two doctrines stand together. Salvation, full, complete, eternal, by the blood of Christ, by the grace of God, through faith, and the resurrection of the dead. All who believe are going to be resurrected and made like Christ. Now, the Old Testament believers, you say, where do you get that doctrine? Throughout the Word of God. All of the Old Testament believers look forward to the resurrection of the body. They believe that the body would rise. Let me quote some of them. Abraham, he accounted that God was able to raise up Isaac even from the dead. Abraham believed in the resurrection. Job, listen to Job. "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh and bones, as Christ said, I shall see God, whom I shall see myself and not another. I'm going to die and worms will destroy this body, but I'm going to see God in my flesh." David said, "Thou wilt not leave my body in the grave." Daniel said, "Those who sleep in the dust shall rise." Isaiah said, "God's dead men shall live together. With my dead body shall they rise." That's Daniel. Isaiah. Listen to Isaiah. "The dead shall live together. He shall raise them up, and they shall live in His sight." All of the Old Testament believers believed in the resurrection of the dead. And then the apostles, like I told you, they went forth preaching salvation by grace and the resurrection of the dead. And the thing that people hated and despised, not only that message of redemption by Christ, but the resurrection. In Acts 1:22, when they chose an apostle to take the place of Judas, the apostle said, "Now, he must be a witness of the resurrection of our Lord. He's got to have seen the resurrection." because that's what he's going to preach. If Christ, oh, I'll tell you that in a minute. Listen to this, Acts 2:31. Peter's message on Pentecost was largely a declaration of Christ's resurrection. He said, "You with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory, but God raised him up. This same Jesus whom you crucified hath God raised up." God raised him. Acts 4:1-2, the apostles were arrested and put in jail. Why? It says, for preaching the resurrection of the dead. In Acts 17:18, you remember this story, don't you? When Paul came to Mars Hill to preach, and it says that he was accused, listen, he was accused of setting forth strange gods because he preached the resurrection of the dead. In Acts 17:32, they mocked him and ridiculed him when they heard him preach. What? The resurrection of the dead. And then in Acts 23:6, Paul was called in question. Why? For preaching the resurrection of the dead. Now here's what I want you to see. And you jot this down. If you don't turn down and read it, jot it down. 1 Corinthians 15:13. Paul presents the problems that we face if there's no resurrection of the body. If there is no resurrection of this body, I'm going to die and be buried, and someday the Word says I'll be raised. Now listen, if there's no resurrection, Christ is not risen. This is 1 Corinthians 15:13-19. If there's no resurrection, our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Thirdly, if there's no resurrection, we're false witnesses of God. Fourthly, if there's no resurrection, we're yet in our sins. Five, if there's no resurrection, all who have died in faith are perished. All your loved ones perished. In the sixth place, if there's no resurrection, all we have is this world. And if all we have is this world, we are of all men most miserable. If there's no resurrection. Philippians 3, Paul said, but thank God there is. Thank God for the promise of the resurrection. I will raise him up. Listen, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile bodies and make them like his glorified body. Yes, he will. Now, here's the big question. Here's the big question. Here's what causes the problem in these human minds and thoughts. Here's the question. How are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Now, we're old enough and lived long enough and seen enough death to know what it's like. The body dies and it's buried. And it rots. And it decays. And it goes back to the dust from whence it came. And what the problem is, what the thing that is the problem to us, is the deterioration of the body. The total deterioration of this body, and that presents a problem. But one of the great old writers said, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. The decay and corruption of the body is not a problem to the resurrection. It's a necessity. What? Yes. The decay of the body, the death of the body, is necessary in order that there should be a new body, a new person. The old person's got to die and decay and disappear before the new body comes forth. That's what the Lord said in John 12. Listen, 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 will you? John 12:24. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. He says, if you've got a grain of corn or a grain of wheat in your hand, you hold it a long time. No change. It's still a shriveled, wrinkled grain of corn. What do you got to do? You got to bury it. It's got to die. It's got to decay. It's got to rot. And listen, but if it dies, it'll bring forth more fruit. It'll grow up. So that grain of wheat or corn decaying That's not the problem. That's the necessity. The problem is if it doesn't decay. And 1 Corinthians 15:35 says this, but some man will say, but how are the dead raised? With what body do they come? Thy fool. That which you plant is not made alive to bear fruit except it die. That's the answer he gives. Now let me see if I can help you with that. Listen. We plant seeds. Most of you people listening to my voice today have planted gardens. And you put a seed in the ground. And there that seed dies and rots and decays by water and dust. And in a few days, there's a green blade appears, which grows and grows and grows until it becomes a full stalk of corn or wheat and has a beautiful, luscious ear of corn on it with many, many grains. Now, this tall stalk of corn which is growing there, is that the same corn you planted? Well, you say, yes, of course it is. It came right up where I planted it. It came out of the same little shriveled seed I put in the ground. This new stalk of corn came from it. Of course, that's where I planted it. And this happens before our eyes every day, and we take it for granted. Everybody takes this miracle for granted. Every year we plant seeds, and then these beautiful vegetables come up, and they fill our tables, and we take them for granted. A few days ago, all we had was a little shriveled grain of corn, and now we have a 5 or 6 foot stalk of corn, and no one doubts it's the same corn we planted. Came out of the same hole in the ground where we put that little shriveled, dried up, wrinkled grain of corn. Now listen to me. This body will one day die, and it'll be buried. And it'll be buried as an old, shriveled seed, dried up, no life, no beauty about it, fit for nothing but to be put in the ground. And there it'll rot. And there it'll go back to dust. And the years will pass. And when the trump of God sounds some morning, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes, there's a new body going to come forth from that old seed. It'll be a glorified body. It'll be in full flower. It'll be worthy of Him who made it. And while it'll be the same body that I planted and you planted, it'll be oh so different. Oh so different. You understand what Paul is saying? People say, well, how are the dead raised? With what body do they come? He says, now take that grain of corn that you planted. You've got to put it in the ground. And from that grain of corn comes a new stalk, beautiful, rich, and wonderful. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:42, Paul, talking about these bodies, said they'll be buried in corruption. Corruption. A frail body, a weary body, a body full of disease, decay, flesh, a vessel of clay with sin in its nature and essence. It'll be raised in incorruption, without sickness, without disease, without suffering. Can you think about that? Without the possibility of wear or destruction. You remember when the Israelites were walking through the wilderness 40 years? Did you ever read Deuteronomy 29:5? It says their shoes didn't wear out. They wore the same shoes for 40 years and the same clothes for 40 years. I've been preaching the gospel over 40 years, and this is not the first suit that I had when I started preaching the gospel. The others, they've worn out lots of them. And this old body's wearing out. And it's going to be sown in corruption, but it's going to be raised indestructible. Indestructible. Incorruptible. It'll never wear out. He said it'll be buried in dishonor. It'll be raised in power, holiness. It'll be raised in glory. Subject to deformity that makes it ugly. This body is subject to losses that make it useless. People, you lose the use of their arms and legs. their eyes and ears. This body is subject to bruises and sores and wounds and scars, and subject to age and weariness and sin. It'll be raised in glory, unblemished holiness, spotless beauty, loveliness. Our new bodies will be without wrinkle, without spot, without stain, without age. Eternal beauty, eternal youth, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It'll be buried in weakness. This body is too weak to work without weariness. It's too weak to think without foolishness. It's too weak to live without sin. It's too weak to walk without falling. It's too weak to continue without dying. But he said, I'm going to raise it in power. I had an old friend, he's dead now, but he used to sing a song. I'll never grow tired again, praise the Lord. I'll never grow tired again. And in that new body, there'll be, listen, no emotional burden, no physical burden, no mental burden will ever present itself. Because God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. I make all things new. Our eyes will see unlimited distances. Our ears will hear the beauty of heaven. Our memories will never fail and never forget. Can you imagine that? Our minds will comprehend all things. I'll know like I've been known. Our hearts will love perfectly because we're going to be like Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture teaches. I'll raise him up. And just like that little shriveled, wrinkled, useless grain of corn, you can't even eat it. It's not table worthy. It's just one thing you can do with it. Put it in the ground. Put it away. Bear it out of sight. And you stand back and watch the power of my God. Stand back and watch the power of my God. And every time you bury a believer, he said, those that the Father gave me, I'll lose nothing. I'll raise him up. Those who see the Son and believe on him, I'll raise him up. Those whom the Father draws and they come to me, I'll raise them up. There were two martyrs who were going to be burned at the stake during the days of Queen Mary, Bloody Mary over in England. One of them was a crippled man, one of them was a blind man. And before they lit the fire, the crippled man turned to his brother, the blind brother in the faith, and he said, my brother, have courage. This fire is going to heal both of us. This fire is going to heal both of us. I read an illustration. There was an old, old woman who lived all of her 90 years in an old house. She was born in that old house and lived there all her life. And it's now old and broken down. It's cold in the winter and hot in the summer. That old house, the windows are small and dark, and the roof leaks, and the foundation's crumbling, and she feels like a prisoner. And oftentimes she cries like Paul the Apostle, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this bondage, this body of death, and this old house? And one day her landlord comes by, and he calls to her, and he calls her by name. He says, now you come with me. I'm going to build you a new house. I'm going to tear down your old house. I'm going to destroy your old house, and I'm going to build a brand new house for you. So you come live with me while I tear down your old house and build the new one. You come live with me. You know, Paul said, if our earthly house of this tabernacle be destroyed, while it's being destroyed, while it's rotting and decaying and going back to dust, we have a building eternal in the heavens. Not made with hands, made by God. And that's our residence and our habitation and our dwelling place till he builds the new house. Now listen, the landlord said, you come live with me. Come live with me while I destroy the old house and build another. So every board is ripped up and every stone falls and the foundation is dug up and nothing remains. Nothing remains. Not a thing. Not any remembrance. Just maybe a memory. Where it was. The place where it stood. Nothing remains. Nothing. And soon the new house is finished. And the foundation is eternal stone. And the walls are precious gems. And the gates are pure gold. And the windows look out over the river of life. And it'll never fail. And it'll never fall. And the landlord, our eternal Lord, says, come now and move into your new house and enjoy it forever. I'll raise him up. My friends, that's the promise of our God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. And this is the will of my Father which sent me, that of all which he hath given me I'll lose nothing. I'm going to raise him up at that last day. And everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. And no man can come to me except my Father draw him. And those whom my Father draws and teaches, from whom they learn, I'll raise them up.